Welcome to the Open Forum in the Villages Florida podcast. In this show, we talk to leaders in the community, leaders of clubs, and interesting folks who live here in the Villages to give perspectives of what is happening here in the Villages Florida. We are a listener-supported podcast. There will be shout-outs for supporters in episodes.
A note from the heart. Hello, dear listeners. I'm thrilled to share our passion project with you. Podcast that brings joy, knowledge, and inspiration. Creating it is a labor of love, even though it demands more time than I can easily spare. But hey, time isn't something that we can buy back, right? Now, here's where you come in, the unsung hero. You can help us keep the podcast alive and thriving. How? By becoming a supporter. You can make a small monthly contribution. Visit our website, Open Forum in the Villages, Florida, and click on the supporter box. Even a humble $3 to $10 a month makes a difference. And guess what? You can cancel any time, no strings attached. Free and priceless. Thank you. Your support means the world to us. Stay curious, stay inspired, and keep those headphones on.
If you have a book that you would like to turn into an audiobook, let us know via email to mike@rothvoice.com. Hope you enjoy today's show.
Today we'll have a really interesting episode. I have three of my students in the Podcasting 101 class who've agreed to record their first podcast with us. Each one will have about 8 to 10 minutes, and we'll hear a little bit about each one of their goals, lives, and what's going on here in the Villages. The first one is going to be Alex Lakatos, who's moved here to the Villages, and he's a travel agent. Our second speaker will be Ken Lee, who is going to be running a mastermind group on a national basis. And the third is Rich Radcliffe, who's going to tell us some interesting stories about when he was working at the Coors Brewery in Denver, Colorado in the 1980s. This is Mike Roth on Open Forum in the Villages, Florida. I'm here today with Alex Lakatos. So that's pronounced just like it's spelled.
In English it is. In Hungarian it would be totally different.
How would it sound in Hungarian?
Lakatos.
Lakatos.
Which actually means locksmith. So it's got a meaning.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's cool. That's cool.
Yeah, it is.
My family name, coming from Germany, was Roth Apple or something like that. And at Customs or Ellis Island, they cut off the apple. It was fine. Alex was a student of mine in the Enrichment Academy course this year. And he volunteered to do a 10-minute podcast with us. Alex, why don't you tell us a little bit about your background?
Mike, starting out early, most of my interest was really in electronics and technology, and travel was not a thought at that time. I went to a high school where I learned electronics and eventually ended up going to college, Fairleigh Dickinson University in Teaneck, New Jersey, taking electrical engineering. I graduated with a BS in electrical engineering. First job I got out of school was for a military contractor, designing inertial navigation equipment for a military aircraft. I realized pretty quickly that being an engineer and designing was really not really for me. I saw myself more in a sales role. And as a result of that, I got myself into the computer industry when it was just in the beginning, early stages, working for companies like Hewlett-Packard and Digital Equipment Corporation, selling what was called mini computers at that time. Mm-hmm. No disk drives or any of the great stuff we're used to right now. Ultimately, I left those companies and ended up working for a company called Codex, who was a leader at that time in data communications, allowing remote locations to talk to a central location. After a number of years, I've got to say modestly, I became an expert in the field and I really knew my stuff. I ended up meeting a guy at the company who was hired to sell a brand new product of IBM compatible equipment, and we became friends pretty quickly. Now, unfortunately, the company let him down and did not support that product line, and he ended up going into a business where he resold IBM, previously owned IBM equipment, which was a huge field. And the thing that made it work was that IBM, as long as you had maintenance on your equipment, would maintain used equipment. So it's like getting an old car and getting a new car warranty on it. And so he said to me, he says, why can't you do that with data communications equipment? I had no answer for him. So I said, let's give it a shot. He gave me leads. We did sales together. We did great, really did great. And after a while, we realized we couldn't work together. So I ended up starting my own company and reselling very high-tech equipment, which eventually led to brands like Cisco Systems. Now, this was an incredible experience for me, and it led me to do things I never believed I would have done. For example, getting into aviation. I had a fear of flying and fear of heights, so I figured the way to solve that was to learn to fly. So I had some free time and I had the money, so I did that. Ultimately, I was able to purchase my own airplane and flew it all over the place. So my original traveling was really flying from New Jersey, where I lived, to the Bahamas. And I was involved with an air race down there and also a trip from New Jersey to the Dominican Republic for a big celebration that they were having down there. And I still love aviation. It's a real passion of mine.
Just a longer plane?
No, unfortunately, it got to be quite expensive maintaining an airplane. Mm-hmm. I have friends that have planes currently, and I go up with them once in a while, but if I win the lottery or PCH or something, I might get a plane. But right now, I let some other guys do the flying.
We had a couple of fellows on the show who deliver airplanes.
Cool.
Let me ask you this. With so much information available to us online today, why should someone use a travel agent as opposed to just booking it with the cruise line, the airline, or making it an independent tour?
Mike, that's a great question. I think there's a misconception by some people that it costs you extra money if you use a travel agent. And that's really not true at all. I've joined some groups on Facebook that are people that cruise the cruise lines like Viking Cruise Line. And it's amazing the misconception that people have. But to answer your question in more detail, a travel agent can offer expert advice, both about the destinations and also about the cruise lines. All cruise lines have a different personality. So a travel agent would have had personal experience both with the destination and with the cruise line. The other thing, there's a lot of complexity involved.
Is it okay if I ask you a cruise line question?
Sure.
With our Mercedes-Benz Club here in the Villages, we're attempting to plan a cruise for 24 and 25. Naturally, we're more than 55 years of age on average. Some people are up into their 80s. What cruise lines would you think would be a good cruise line to go for 5 to 7 days?
I would recommend cruise lines like Viking Cruise Lines. And the reason I would do that is that it's smaller ships, less people, less crowds. The service is outstanding for people. And I've gotten a lot of positive feedback from my clients. They definitely would be high on my list as opposed to a ship that's got 6,000 people on it and a bunch of two-year-olds running around.
Where does Viking start from here in Florida?
Viking, you'd be finding Viking down in the Miami-Fort Lauderdale area. They're not at the Port Canaveral.
And what would a 5 to 7 day cruise into the eastern, I guess it would have to be the eastern Caribbean, the round numbers?
Cost-wise, you're saying?
Yeah, I
would say ballpark, you're probably looking at about $4,000 a person. That would be my guess right now.
Yeah. Okay. I don't know if I'm going to use that. I think Viking makes a very... I took both of the river cruises and the transatlantic. I went to Lisbon to Miami.
Yeah, they have both the ocean and the river cruises, yes.
The ship is too small for the ocean, in my opinion. They made very small stabilizers. And so any little wave like that... I didn't get seasick, but I found it annoying. That's another whole story. So, Alex, if someone wants to get hold of you to talk about using you as a travel agent, how do they do that?
There's a couple of different ways. One could be a phone call, and my number is 352-268, or they can email me at alex@com.
Alex, was that a cell phone number so they could text you at the same number?
That's correct, Mike.
Okay, good. Thanks for joining us today, Alex.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
We're going to take a break now and listen to Dr. Craig Curtis. Dr. Curtis, what do you think the future looks like, Alzheimer's treatment here in America?
I think the future looks very good. I think that these blood tests are going to make a significant difference in our ability to detect someone who's developing Alzheimer's disease before symptoms. A person who develops memory loss due to Alzheimer's disease, we know that disease actually started approximately 2 decades or 20 years prior. We know that amyloid starts building up for approximately 20 years, 15 to 20 years, which then initiates other brain cells or brain to die off, essentially, which leads to Alzheimer's disease. So we're trying to remove that amyloid prior to that so we can prevent Alzheimer's disease. And we're also attempting to, once somebody already has the cognitive changes or memory symptoms, we're trying to figure out if reducing that amyloid really slows the disease. We now have, of course, the world's first medicine on the market that is slowing Alzheimer's disease by removing amyloid from the brain. And we're looking at newer, more advanced forms of those medications that remove the amyloid much more quickly, in a matter of months. So that's very exciting.
With over 20 years of experience studying brain health, Dr. Curtis's goal is to educate the village's community on how to live a longer, healthier life. To learn more, visit his website, craigcurtismd.com, or call 352-500-5252 to attend a free seminar.
This is Mike Roth. I'm here today with Ken Lee. Thanks for joining me, Ken.
Happy to be here.
Ken is starting a new business, and it's all about mastermind groups. Ken, why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about what a mastermind group is?
Napoleon Hill, in his book, Think and Grow Rich, talked about the concept of a mastermind group. And he says that when two people, individuals, get together to discuss something, a third mind emerges. And I found that concept fascinating and had experienced it somewhat. And I was singing in a local barbershop group, and they have something called up notes, or ringing a tone. And you can have four individuals singing their individual notes, and then you will hear, if they ring that tone, you will hear a fifth note. So it's a fascinating concept. So going back to the mastermind, I had masterminds with different people, different individuals, where we would brainstorm things and come up with ideas. And my wife said to me, why don't you do that with your son? I said, okay. So about a year ago, December, I started a special time with each one of my sons. I have four sons. And we sit down via telephone for an hour. And just, I talk about their lives, their work, what I'm doing, hopes, dreams, ambition. Been going on for well over a year. I have never been closer to my sons than I am right now. And I thought, if I can do this for my son, maybe I could start doing this for other individuals. So there was a young lady who's a real estate broker up in upstate Upper Maryland. And we had done some business things and started talking. And she and I started talking, doing a weekly mastermind. It was beneficial for both of us. And it was very, very exciting. And so with my son, Tim, he is out in St. Louis. He had a coach who was raised by a single mom, did not have a father figure. And the fact that my son and I talked an hour a week fascinated him. So we come down to collaborating, and we're starting a group called American Dream United. And information at AmericanDreamUnited.net. And we are offering a monthly mastermind for free, no charge, the third Thursday. And for an hour and a half, we talk about different topics for people who are in business, people who are trying to balance the family life work. They're trying to balance the fitness aspect, and they're trying to balance their lives, because what I have found, I'm 71 years old, and I'm retired, but I have found that there are many people who reach what they think is success in their life, but they're still missing something, still got a hole in their heart, if you please. And what can fill that hole? I'm thinking, and the way I'm doing things, that significant can do that. Success is where I pour into myself, trying to reach my goals, my ambitions, the things I want to do. Significance is where I pour my life into others and help them to achieve the goals they want.
So your mastermind group is going to be done at no charge to the participants?
Correct.
Is it going to be done over Zoom?
Yes, over Zoom.
So Ken, in May, what is the date that the mastermind group will meet?
It will be the third Thursday.
Third Thursday of May. And what time?
11 Eastern time.
11 Eastern time. And how do they get a hold of you to gain access to the Zoom meeting?
You can get access to the Zoom meeting by going to AmericanDreamUnited.net. That will take you to our Facebook page, give you all the information. You can sign up there and get additional information. I can be reached here in the Villages at BeyondSuccess@TheVillages.net.
Good. That sounds like a great idea. Many years ago, David Sandler forced me to read Napoleon Hill, and in many respects, some of the Sandler management meetings were mastermind group, and so I have a great familiarity with what you're trying to do. It does help a lot of people. The other topic we wanted to talk about was...
The other item we were going to talk about is personal coaching. The mastermind is free, and people can enjoy that as much as they want, take advantage of that. The other thing we offer for those that want to go a little bit deeper, we do have coaching available. One-on-one coaching, well, group coaching. We're going to do book club, where we get perhaps a John Maxwell book, some other great leader, and go through it. And then we have do-it-yourself coach through a source called Write Now Media. We will give individuals access to Right Now Media, where they can, in the comfort of their home, go on, view a video, and then set up a time to discuss that. And again, it'd be more like a one-on-one mastermind. So those services are available. And as we expand, that will be available on the website. But right now, the free mastermind is what we're offering, and we're hoping people can take advantage of that.
Just out of curiosity, round numbers, what kind of course would it be for someone to participate in that, in the free, and then wanted to have some one-on-one coach?
We're trying to target $30 a month as a base for people to take advantage of different aspects of that. We're still working through that, but it's one of those things that with the free mastermind and other people available, people can get the help that they deserve. And mostly it comes down to accountability. One of the things that my doctor tells me, because I need to become less of the man that I am, lose some pounds, that I need someone to be accountable to. So I have a nutritionist. She encouraged. It's basically the same. Someone is paying her fee, my medical paying her fee. But if we do that in business, then people title. So the prices are all over the place. I know of an individual right now. He is paying $1,800 a month for personal coaching.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he happens to work for a very large domestic airline company, has that in his continuation budget, but it runs the gamut of $20, $30 a month up to $2,000.
Wow. Okay, so there's a very big variability. And again, if someone wanted to get a hold of you on the phone to ask a question, what's your...
Telephone number is 352-626-7581.
And if they wanted to drop you an email?
BeyondSuccess@TheVillages.net.
Good. Ken, thanks for being with us today.
Happy to be here with you.
This is Mike Roth on Open Forum in the Villages, Florida. I'm here today with Rich Radcliffe. Thanks for joining me, Rich.
Thank you. I appreciate this opportunity.
Rich was part of my Enrichment Academy course, Podcasting 101 for Beginners. Did you learn anything from that course?
I learned a lot, Mike.
Good.
I learned basics. I learned technology. I learned website.
Good. Are you planning to start your own podcast now?
I have plans to start podcasting probably starting in the summer of this year.
That's good. Any equipment you want, let me know. I'll send you some of the equipment as I buy new stuff. Now, in your background, Rich, you worked for the Coors Brewing Company in Golden, Colorado.
I loved it. It was a dream come true for a person in their 20s and 30s to be working at Coors and living in Colorado.
Now, you worked for Coors during the period of time where Coors was not sold in every state in the United States.
That's right. And that contributed to the excitement of working for Coors, the novelty of it, and having come from the Midwest, working for a Colorado brewery was just wonderful.
Okay. You still enjoy Colorado Kool-Aid?
I do. In fact, I enjoy it every night. I have one of the beverages that they make and just has fond memories for me.
There was a period of time in my career where I lived on the back of a 727. I would do four cities in a day, had my salespeople pick me up at the airport. And I remember going to Milwaukee, Wisconsin. And the first sales call of the day, 9 a.m., was with one of the brewing company. And we said, we go into one of the senior manager's offices, and he's got a big pitcher of beer and four or five glasses behind him. And he picks up the pitcher, puts a glass in front of each of us and says, enjoy one of our beers. I just couldn't believe it.
Are you thinking about Coors and maybe how they maybe had free beer for people in meetings as well.
Did they?
Yes, the answer is we had free beer in all the cafeterias, and people, instead of taking a coffee break, would take a beer break, typically in the afternoon, not in the morning. The beer was very fresh, and people did not take advantage of this in a wrongful way. It was just an enjoyable way to end the day. Free beers at the end of the week might be something that'd keep people in the office a little longer.
Say that last part again, because my glasses clipped the mic.
Okay. At the end of the week, you might find employees, including myself, hanging around in the lunchroom, just having a couple beers, free beers, with some friends.
Good. Is it true that at one point in your career with Coors, you stood in 6 inches of beer?
It is true. It is very memorable.
How did that happen?
What happened was that there was a union strike at Coors, and most of the brewery workers vacated their job while, and management brought white-collared people in to take over their jobs. And my job was running a filler and a closer machine. And these are two machines that are shaped sort of like carousels or merry-go-rounds.
Mm-hmm.
And beer cans come in to the filler machine without a lid on them, and they travel around in a circle, and the machine is filling them with beer. And then the cans travel about 2 more feet on by conveyor into a closer machine that slams a lid on the top of, hence your beer gets filled. Now, this goes at a ferocious rate, 1,200 cans a minute.
Wow.
So in the particular episode I'm thinking about, there were a couple of problems technically, and the filling machine that's filling beer at that rate continued to run even though cans were entering the machine.
Were not entering.
Not entering the machine. My role, and I sat in a separate little viewing room, was to watch this machine 12-hour shifts, a lot of beer cans. And when I saw that happening, I hit the normal off buttons. That didn't work, so I had to jump out of my viewing station, go into the small room where the filler and the closer was, and hit the emergency shutoff. By that time, a lot of beer had hit the floor. It was all tiled. There's a drain, so it started running off. But I remember distinctly looking at my feet. We wore protective clothing,
mm-hmm.
even on like booties on my feet, and my feet were under beer suds.
Wow, that's interesting. Do you have any other memorable moments that happened to you while you were working at Coors?
I think that employee sales was another real benefit.
Employee sale.
This is where late afternoon they opened up the beer trailer and employees could buy beer at super discounted prices. This was not old beer or problems with packaged beer. It was great. A case of beer was $4 with 2-case limit per week. I made lots of friends in my neighborhood because I could buy them coarse beer at that price.
That was great.
And one other thing that's memorable, there were a lot of benefits at Coors. One of them was the ski club, and Coors negotiated a ski lift ticket rate that were very discounted for employees. I remember paying $10 and $12 for a lift ticket to A Basin, to Keystone, to Breckenridge, Steamboat, and so forth. That's another favorable memory.
Good. Maybe you can remind our listeners why, in the 1980s, Coors beer was not available in many states, and that's, I guess, what made the movie Smokey and the Bandit.
There were two reasons. One of them was, in a sense, more popular in public, and that had to do with shelf life of the beer. And the idea that because Coors was not a pasteurized beer, it couldn't stay fresh for long periods of time that it might take to ship it all the way to, say, Massachusetts.
Or New York.
Or New York, exactly. Coors did overcome that by starting to filter their beer with extremely fine filters that kept it very fresh as it was being packaged. The second explanation, and this is the one that I found a lot of truth in, is Coors simply did not have the capacity to make and sell that much beer. We had enough capacity in the mid-70s to supply 14 western states,
mm-hmm.
but in terms of the whole country, we were not geared up with production capacity to make and sell that much beer. Coors did change that during the 80s.
Mm-hmm. Is it still only brewed in Colorado?
What I'm reading, and it's been many years since I've been with Coors, so I'm maybe inaccurate here, but what I'm reading is the Banquet beer is still brewed only in Golden, whereas the Coors Light is brewed at a variety of different brewery sites.
I spent 25 years in Cincinnati, and that was a big brewing capital before Prohibition. And one of the fellas who was selling beer for a number of brands left the beer company he was working for and bought the formulas for these old beer. And in the beginning, he had other breweries brew new batches of the old Cincinnati beers. And he became very popular in Cincinnati. And then he started his own brewery there where he actually brewed the beers using the old formula.
Well, I think that was a real major trend that large breweries like Anheuser-Busch, Coors, for example, had to deal with is the craft brewing, the small breweries that started becoming popular in the 80s and 90s.
Mm-hmm. Seemed like they couldn't put them up fast enough.
I agree. And some of the quality beer that I enjoyed was great. In Colorado, we had some of those breweries in Denver.
I understand that you're also a writer.
I write children's take one. I write books and short stories for children. And currently have maybe 100 short stories that I've saved in terms of audio cassette.
Mm-hmm.
I'm working with a writer's group in the Villages that focuses on writing for kids. And I find a lot of motivation in having people that are like-minded and highly skilled as classmates.
Mm-hmm. Are you thinking of converting those children's stories to audible books or podcasts?
That's exactly what I'm hoping to be able to do. And the course I took with you and all the information you shared is giving me insight in how to do it. Plus, it's also getting me motivated that there's a way to share a very large number of short stories for kids.
Mm-hmm. Do you have the stories in written form? Or they're only on cassette?
I have over 100 on cassette and about 20 in written form.
Good. Great. Thanks for joining us today, Rich.
Thanks, Mike. I appreciate the opportunity.
I'd love to be able to play back into our show one of your first children's books. At least a piece of it.
I hope so, too. And maybe I'll send you a case of beer, too, Mike.
Thanks very much, Rich.
Okay.
Remember, our next episode will be released next Friday at 9 a.m. Should you want to become a major supporter of the show or have questions, please contact us at mike@rothvoice.com. This is a shout-out for supporters, Tweet Coleman, Ed Williams, and major supporter Dr. Craig Curtis at K2 in the Villages. We will be hearing more from Dr. Curtis with short Alzheimer's tips each week. If you know someone who should be on the show, contact us at mike@rothvoice.com. We thank everyone for listening to the show. The content of the show is copyrighted by Roth Voice 2024, all rights reserved.